Quarterback back at the five, steps up, gets drilled. Yes, sir, he gets mashed. And that is going to be the ball game. 6-5-4-3. They can't snap it. They can't stop it. They can't win it. Alabama wins the ball game.
Gary Thomas, linebacker, Alabama.
He was a nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Son, I got to do that in this.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season. And they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, digital managing editor of Town Square Media Tuscaloosa. Mason Woods behind the glass helping us out. Plenty to get into today. Just saw a pretty interesting article on ESPN from Pete Thamel. We're going to get into that, what college football really needs to fix, and it's not NIL, and so much more. I've been hanging around the studios this morning, so I can tell that you guys don't like the announcement that Fox had concerning Alabama and Texas's Week 2 matchup. We're going to talk about that as well. So plenty to get into. 205-342-9904 if you want to join the conversation today. More than welcome to. No guest today. AJ Spurr had to cancel. So we'll talk to him later down the road. We can talk to you today if you want to. 205-342-9904. Before we get started, Alabama Vintage, 2210 University Boulevard, under the Crimson Awning across from City Hall in the heart of downtown T-Town. Go check them out. If you're looking for something with that vintage feel of the regardless of the vintage feel, I think that's kind of one of the coolest things about the store is you get several different types. Right, you can go all the way to the 1970s, their early Bear Bryant years, the Bear Bryant years, where championships were expected. The 90s, where things were a little bit more in limbo, of course, but you got the 1992 championship to lean on with Gene Stallings in the bunch. And then, of course, the early Nick Saban era as well. So a lot to enjoy in there. The jersey selection is absolutely insane. Commemorative T-shirts from all of those eras as well. So go check them out in-store, 2210 University Boulevard, and online, alabamavtg.com. alabamavintage.com. You can also find them on Instagram for the latest incoming items and the latest sales at Alabama VTG. So, Alabama, Texas, I think we all kind of knew that this was going to happen, and yet we're reacting as if we maybe didn't. Fox's Big Noon kickoff, almost definitely, right? almost definitely. Here's what we have to step back and understand. That's the only space that Fox can exist, right? It's trying to compete with ESPN. Is that kind of a foolhardy thing to do? Maybe, considering ESPN practically owns college football, whether you realize it or not. But that's what they're doing. They play their Big Ten and Pac-12 big game of the day. They play it at noon. And their rationale is that there's a traditional stake there. And for whatever it's worth, every single week, their Big Noon kickoff show leads right into the game that they're talking about. How often do we watch College Game Day for hours upon hours upon hours in the day, and that game doesn't come on until night? There's kind of a gap there. Well, here's the thing. College Game Day does a better job of previewing the entire day, period. It's far more entertaining, has characters that you have loved for well over a decade. And you know that when it's time to replace any of them, you know it's going to be an instant upgrade, right? Or at least, you know, somebody that is worth stepping into those shoes. It's not somebody that has no business, such as when Reese Davis took over the main chair, right? So it's, you're competing against something that's hard to compete with. But we've seen things like Good Morning Football come in and kind of shun the morning lineup on sports television to the point where ESPN said, oh, we got to copy what NFL Network did. And so was born Get Up, which is nowhere near as good as Good Morning Football. Even though Good Morning Football is losing a lot of its talent because it created such megastars, it is what it is. So that's what Fox is trying to do. They copied College Game Day. Can't really blame them. College Game Day's game isn't always right after game day. So there's that space where they can say, hey, you can get a preview of this game. You can get a preview of the Big Ten and the Pac-12, as well as the rest of college football that we're able to discuss, and get something here with more modern names, by the way. I think it's really important to know. Reggie Bush, Brady Quinn, I think Michael Vick is on there sometimes, Matt Leinart. Like, those are recent names. That's not really the case with College Game Day, right? Lee Corso is extremely old. Kirk Herbstreit wasn't even that good of a football player, right? Big name. Was nothing truly special on the field. Kind of is what it is at that point, right? But as it stands, can't blame him. I don't like noon kickoffs when we have nothing but noon kickoffs. Same thing with primetime games. Because everything's circumstantial. I don't like primetime games. I didn't in the past when I did the postgame show. Now I get to do the pregame show. So now, to me, like, those noon kickoffs are going to be the one that gets on my nerves a little bit more than the postgame show. The primetime games. But when it comes down to it, as long as there is an even balance of noon kickoffs and primetime games and 2:30 mix-ins, I'm happy. I'm not going to raise all holy hell about a certain kickoff time. Not going to do it. Plus, I think this is going to be a fun experience. Mason, I agree with you. Gus Johnson, Joe Klatt, not my favorite duo. I like Gus to a point. I don't like Joe Klatt at all. I was very disappointed when NFL Network had him on for the entire day two of the NFL draft. Don't like him. Never have. Don't think I ever will. Just not a fan. Think he is extremely contradictory of himself. Think he thinks too highly of himself. Just, I'm not a fan of Joel Klatt. And we know that Joel Klatt doesn't like Alabama. So it is going to be very interesting to hear Joel Klatt talk about Alabama in a game. It's going to be very interesting to hear Gus Johnson call in plays that involve Heisman Trophy winners, or at least one for once, right? Instead of talking about, oh, Bijan Robinson, he can do it. X, Y, and Z from Ohio State, they can do it. Doesn't matter. They're not the ones doing it. So there is some intrigue there. I don't think it's anything to get too worked up over, though, because honestly, look at the schedule. The entire schedule is going to be pretty bleak, to be honest. Not a lot of primetime games, I think, in this lineup. It is going to be a lot of 11 a.m.s, but at least this one's early on. And you can kind of have a chance to get used to it. It is what it is. We'll take a break, though. When we get back, we'll talk with Pat. We'll get into this Pete Thamel article as well. This has got some interesting stuff in it that'll make you think a little bit. That and more here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Did you know not washing your hands after using the bathroom can increase the spread of hepatitis A? Washing your hands with soap and water, as well as getting vaccinated, is the best way to protect yourself if you are at risk of getting hepatitis A. One dose of the hepatitis A vaccine provides long-lasting protection in up to 95% of those who receive it. For more information on the hepatitis A outbreak in our state, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Sponsored by the Alabama Department of Public Health, the ABA, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very warm afternoon with a sunny sky. The high today, 87. Clear tonight, the low, 59. And here comes the heat tomorrow and Thursday. A good supply of sunshine both days. The high tomorrow, 93. The high Thursday in the mid-90s at 95. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
They have a Nick Saban problem in Alabama. They pay Kirby Smart and Nick Saban north of $8 million. $8 million. And in the last 14 games, they've given up 40 points four times.
Wow.
Four times. In the previous 80 before that, they had 13 shutouts, gave up 40 points once. They haven't adjusted. They have turned into, this is what's so crazy. Everyone talked about the speed and athleticism of the SEC for years, right? That's what it was. Speed, athletic. Look at them. They're so fast. He's turned Alabama into an old Big Ten defense.
That's what it looks like.
It's a big, slow, lumbering, look at me, I'm 250 pounds. You can't tackle anybody.
They're not good in space at all.
No, they're not. They've got some serious problems there.
That was Joel Klatt 7 years ago. Me and Mason did the math, and Alabama won three national championships in that time period and has been to, all but one national championship since that. A Nick Saban problem. That's the guy that's going to be calling that game. I tell you why I don't like Joel Klatt. Like, it is not like I don't care if you like don't like a particular team as an analyst, like whatever. Like if Kirk Herbstreit gave his honest feelings on Michigan, I think that would be more entertaining. If David Pollack gave his honest feelings on Alabama, Florida, and Auburn, sometimes he does. I think it'd be more entertaining. But I mean, when you are just arrogantly wrong all the time. I mean, more often than not. That's when I'm like, ugh. The Colin Cowherds of the world, right? Just stop. Like, stop and think for like 10 seconds. It's all I'm asking of. Set out to the phone line. Welcome in a friend, Pat. What's going on, Pat?
Hey, it's a shame we can't have Lundquist come back. But, I mean, at least him talking about the pretty girls in the stands that were made for entertaining. I made for color.
Yeah, just kind of rambling off there at the end, you know.
Yeah. But, hey, what I called you about is the rich getting richer. I mean, that is the entire football world not going to go just completely lose their mind if we can get Mr. Addison, a Biletnikoff winner, with a Heisman Trophy winner on the same field? Wouldn't that be great to have that fella that hates Alabama to call that game in Texas? Would that happen?
Yeah, I love to hear it. Gus Johnson, touchdown, Bryce Young to Jordan Addison, Joe Klatt. See, this is what's wrong with college football. No, I agree. I think the entire country would indeed lose their minds. But, I mean, you can look at it from a lot of different perspectives. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that college football has always been a thing where the rich get richer. If you're rich enough to pay for really good head coaches, you get really good head coaches who help build everything else up. You get all the players. Rinse and repeat, and you're good to go. And that's what Alabama's been doing for a long time.
My biggest issue, though, with Nick Saban is has made my property taxes go way up. I mean, seriously, that is a property tax is going through the roof, right? Because of Coach Saban. I mean, the amount of building that's going on here, and the amount of money that's been brought into Tuscaloosa because of Coach Saban, far outweighs. You're just talking about $8 million. Gee, Manetti, $10 million. Whatever it is, he's not being paid enough for what he's bringing into the community.
Oh, yeah, that was 7 years ago. That was before he signed his contract extension.
He is not being paid for what his value actually is.
Yeah, because, think about every intern that we have here, and myself included when I started here, big reason Alabama is the easy one to choose for people that want to get into the business that we're in is because you can be around greatness like Nick Saban and talk to him. And, you'd have more access at other schools, but you wouldn't be around the same kind of greatness, you know, and be.
And there wouldn't be as much need for you.
Exactly.
I'm going to get real. I mean,
you're absolutely right. That's how it works.
He's been a godsend for the bearded wandering afternoon. I mean, there used to be a lot of people in this town that listened to Feinbaum that no longer listen to Feinbaum. People don't understand just because you may have 75. I don't know how many callers he has call in when they're predicting a football game, but let's say for argument's sake, there's 75. For the 75 that get in, there's 275 that can't get through.
Right.
You know, and give up after one or two times.
And even more that don't call because they know they can't get in.
Because they can't get in, exactly. Caller apathy?
Yeah.
That's a good word, apathy.
Yeah.
And, but they're listening, and the people don't understand my spine care doctor knows me by name. First time I walked in to see him 6 years ago, he said, "You're Pat from the morning, from the afternoon radio show." And I said, "Yes, I am. And my voice is kind of unmistakable." But he knew just who I was because he listens to the show and he never calls in. But there's all kinds of people down at Paul Jr.'s catfish plant down in Uniontown, Alabama. They all know who I am by voice. When I walked in, I was a federal inspector. And I walked in and said, "You're Pat." And, okay. Lots of people listen that never call in.
Oh, yeah.
And so y'all are getting a whole lot more. Let your advertisers know that y'all have a tremendous amount more listeners than the few little callers that you have call in.
I might need to get you to hook up with my bosses then, Pat.
Well, that's exactly right. I would love to because that's what it's all about, about building a grassroots campaign. We got to be bigger than Feinbaum. All right. Anyway, hey, have a blessed day, and y'all doing a good job. Do you think Addison, when the pencil meets the paper, is Addison going to sign with Alabama?
I have no idea. The reason why is because we've heard rumors of what his deal is from USC, We haven't heard such things from Alabama, and I don't think we would. And there might not be even any truth to the USC offer anyway, but that seems like a really hard thing to turn down.
If that is true with USC, wouldn't that be the people that the NCAA is going to try to say castrate? Because that's what's not supposed to be happening.
Maybe. How's the NCAA going to do anything?
You're not supposed to be able to pay, but you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to sign a deal after you're at a university, not before you get there.
Right. What I'm saying is the NCAA lacks a lot of power here. Because they created very vague rules. They created rules that were kind of meant to be broken, and they lack a lot of power to be able to do anything within a certain amount of time for it to actually make influence or impact on those that did wrong based off of whatever rules there are. Because they could go after USC and Jordan Addison, and it might be after the season when Jordan Addison's getting ready for the NFL and USC's already won whatever it is that they were going to win with him after he's already caught 18 touchdowns or whatever. So it's at that point, it's null and void. Like, sure, you can take Reggie's Heisman away, but he still won the Heisman.
He still won it.
Still remembered for it. Everybody remembers seeing him do what he did. You can't take that away. Who cares that he got the car in the house and all the other crap? I mean, it's what we do on Saturdays, that's all that really matters. And the fact that the NCAA tries to make all these other things matter is really their big problem.
Yeah. Hey, well, before I go, what was that? Remembering the running back. What was that running back out of Louisiana down there that he got killed in Louisiana a few years ago when he played for USC? He was a really good
Joe McKnight.
McKnight.
Yeah.
That's one. He should have been at Alabama too. Bless his heart.
He was pretty damn good at USC too, though.
We should have kept him out of Louisiana. He should still be here making money.
Yeah.
Bless his heart. That was an awful thing that happened to that young man. All right. Anyway, hey, have a great day, and thank you for taking my call, sir.
No problem, Pat. Take it easy, buddy.
Let's get us a Biletnikoff winner. All right, bye.
There we go. Biletnikoff winners never seem to hurt. Best I can remember, Amari Cooper won one, Devontae Smith won one. Jerry Jeudy won it too, didn't he? And all of those came with natties, right?
Yeah, we got one on our roster already. Jermaine Burton won it this year. Crickets.
That one's a little hard for me to commit to. if Jordan Addison's here, he's winning that.
I'll be honest, I don't think anybody's taking it from Jackson Smith and Jigba.
You know, that's a solid point as well.
When I said that originally, that thought had not crossed my mind. I will backtrack a little bit. I do not think Jermaine Burton can win that award this season. He'll be a finalist.
There you go. Well, finalist, definitely. There's been plenty of Alabama guys, but finalist. Those don't always come with natties, though. Sometimes they do. Pat came in kind of talking about the rich getting richer, and I've made this point many a time. And the fact of the matter is that the rich have always gotten richer. Just now there's a different lens to view it through. So now instead of saying the rich get richer because of recruiting, because of effort, yada, 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 all the traditional values of the program and whatever pitches that you can give to these high school athletes to make them want to come play football, that's how the rich got richer. The best of the best were able to get the best of the best to come play for them, and it was a vicious cycle. Well, now we look at it through a lens that involves money, and we're like, oh, well, the rich schools just get the rich, you know, they just get the most talent. And it's like, you understand that the rich schools already were able to do that because they had the money to get the right kind of coaches and the right kind of teams, the right kind of boosters to get that kind of talent, right? It's the same cycle. You're just viewing it from a different side. You ever seen a picture of the black hole that NASA released? You know, if you look at it from two different angles, it looks like two completely different things. Like head on, it looks kind of like a donut. And from the side, it just looks like an orange blob, right? It doesn't make any sense, right? It's a black hole. Why is it orange? The point is that it is two different angles on the same perspective. Again, all NIL did was raise a speed limit in the middle of nowhere. You took a speed limit that was once 45 in the middle of nowhere, where no cops were anyway. Everybody was already going 65 miles an hour. And now you've made the speed limit 55 miles an hour, and there's still no cops out there, and everybody's still going 65. You've changed the rules, but you haven't changed the level of enforcement, and you haven't changed anything about what the people on the road are going to do and how they can do it and why they would do it. That's what you've done. Effectively, not much, except said, it's okay if you go fast. We don't really care how fast, but we're taking some of the liability away. It's a do your thing. You know these roads. You're the only ones that drive on them. You're the one that has to go home every day. So I'm going to leave it alone. That's all that is. But Pete Thamel on ESPN kind of suggests that there's something else at work that is a big problem in the NCAA. We're going to look at it, see what he says, compare it to what I've been saying in the past, see if it's somewhat similar or if it's completely different or if it's a new perspective altogether. Read some of it. Some pretty intriguing stuff. That next here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. 205-342-9904. If you want to join the conversation, I'm Jacob Harrison. It's Mason Woods, Joe Gaither behind the glass helping us out this morning. Pete Thamel of ESPN puts out an article, NIL. Forget NIL. These are the real issues college leaders need to resolve. It's very... very tempting headline. He put this out last Friday, just now kind of getting around to seeing it and noticing it, and wanted to kind of look at it and see what are the similarities between the arguments that I've been making about how college football is broken. What are the differences, and why are they the way that they are? Pete Thamel is an excellent writer, great thinker, and I think he's got some points in here that are worth paying attention to and analyzing. The main focus of this, though, and it's the big part that I agree with, and the fact that you kind of have to go back to the Alston rulings and pull this quote, and every time you think about the NCAA, every time you think about the NCAA and what it's doing and what it plans to do, this quote lives rent-free. And has to find a way to not be the truth concerning the NCAA for it to exist. From Brett Kavanaugh, Justice Brett Kavanaugh, the NCAA is not above the law. The NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. So what that did, because the NCAA sat on their hands throughout that trial and throughout the outcry to open up NIL, to open up the transfer portal, and to create these evolutions in college sports that were rightfully called on, the NCAA didn't do anything. And a big reason for that is the fact that there is no leadership. It's a bunch of suits that are pulling for the money in every which way that they can get it and hoarding it for themselves. So one of the suggestions that, Pete has here is that eventually the money out of the revenue is going to have to be divvied up into some sort of compensation model for the players. It's only a matter of time before the pearls are unclutched, he says. And the way that you kind of get around this is a couple of different ways. Either the college presidents kind of help the NCAA figure this thing out instead of having a Mark Emmert just be a punching bag, or the conferences themselves take the lead. And sure, in a perfect world, you'd get a little bit of both. But Pete's pointing out something here that's very, very drastic to the world of college football, more so than NIL. Because remember, you can talk about NIL and be like, oh, well, only the big guys are going to get all the money and all the little guys are going to get a little bit, if anything at all. And I tell you, well, that's how America works. Good morning. Glad you could join us. That's how the world works. Your value is based off of what you give to other people. And if that's entertainment value based off your performance and your ability to throw a football, catch a football, tackle a guy with a football, or run with a football, or block for those people, whatever, kick it, coach it, that's very valuable in our culture for some reason. I can't explain it either. Those that aren't in front of us to be able to show off those skill sets, they make less money. That's how it goes. Newsflash, the head coach of Delta State doesn't make as much money as Nick Saban. So that's operating as intended. Behind the scenes of that is something where I think we're aware that this is happening, but maybe not to the point where we're like, okay, the Big Ten, the SEC, pulling away, creating a revenue gap that should be making the Pac-12, the ACC, and the Big 12 defecate on themselves. Seriously, think about what the Big 12 is doing right now. The Big 12 is pulling in Cincinnati and UCF, to replace Texas and Oklahoma. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. While the SEC, the strongest conference in collegiate athletics, is pulling in Texas and Oklahoma. Eventually, you're going to be in a space where this conference realignment is something that is going to shatter the reality of what college athletics is, right? The smart leaders who aren't in either of those two power leagues know they are soon going to be competing against schools that receive nearly double the annual revenue from their conferences. That's what Pete Thamel says about that situation. That is a terrifying space to live in if you're one of those smaller schools that's trying to be a power school, right? Forget shiny new facilities and weight rooms. The Big Ten and SEC should be finding ways to leverage revenues that project to be as much as double that of their peers in a few years to distance themselves from the field. And where you're getting with that, if you kind of start to just look ahead, and you'll find yourself in a space where that has to be the point where the Power Five splits off from the Group of Five in a way that is acceptable, and start to get to a space where we're talking about the elite college programs being college football and that being it. And the smaller ones, you fall by the wayside. Because here's the thing, we don't allow it to make sense. 130 programs in Division I FBS college football. This is not basketball, right? Where you can just say, oh, all Division I programs are created equal, even though technically they aren't. It's not the same. You want the regular season to matter on the scale that it does. You want the playoffs to remain small. You want the pageantry and everything else that comes with college football. You want college football to kind of stay the same. Well, then make it make sense. Make it have something structured. If that means a commissioner, then so be it. If that means just a leader of the NCAA that is actually able to evolve the NCAA into something that works, so be it. But don't sit back and do nothing, because that's what the NCAA did. And because they did that, now we're in a space where we're asking the question, well, isn't the rest of college football going to hate it when Alabama gets Jordan Addison? They would have hated that anyway. They would have hated that had Jordan Addison came to Alabama as a freshman. College football's, or excuse me, the NCAA's inability to create a structure for the transfer portal is what has created this Jordan Addison situation. But because all of this evolution happened at the same time, and the NCAA did nothing, the NCAA is trying to take this stance where they say, okay, we sat back for almost a year, and you've seen how chaotic things are going to be. Listen to all the people that don't like the product at the moment. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago when we talked about the point that Josh Pate made, that college football is not immune to going the way of baseball, boxing, and horse racing. The people that still watch those things are very, very passionate. And the populace of people that would stick with college football no matter what is larger than all three of those sports combined. But those audiences begin to dwindle as time moves on. So if you want to create that space where college football is chaos, the NCAA said, go right ahead. Because now we'll be on this side where we say, look, see, our audience hates this. Our audience wants it to be the way it's always been. And the government says, well, it can't be because that's illegal. Find a new way to do it. And the NCAA says, I don't want to. I don't know how. I lack the power. And I don't want to do anything where I have to give up money. And we find ourselves in the position we're in. And it's a vicious kind of cycle that sits there, because now the NCAA says, okay, Mark Emmert, you're going to be gone in July of 2023, and we are going to start evolving into something that makes NIL work, makes the transfer portal work, and preserves the future of college athletics. And the first thing they do is try to remind you of what boosters are and say that we're coming after boosters who are supporting NIL in the form of recruiting, but it's worded in such a way that would arguably, sure, you'd be twisting the words, but arguably you could turn what the NCAA wrote then called boosters and say, well, any NIL deal should be considered a booster because you're compensating the athlete for what he provides the university, regardless of your tie to the university, right? And it's silly. And while all that's going on, the NCAA, again, is sitting back and they're saying, well, look, our fan base hates NIL. Our fan base hates the transfer portal. They hate all of this sort of stuff because they can't see past their own face to realize that the reason their fan base hates those things isn't inherently because of those things. Again, forget NIL. Forget the transfer portal. Forget the rich getting richer. Forget all of that nonsense. It's because of the NCAA. It's because the NCAA hasn't done enough to keep the Pac-12 afloat. It's because the NCAA hasn't done enough to keep the Big 12 afloat. It's because the NCAA hasn't done enough for the ACC. The NCAA hasn't done enough for the Group of Five. It didn't do enough for its players, its athletes. So while the conferences kind of got gathered up and was like, okay, the transfer portal, yeah, let's do it. And then the players were able to say, yeah, okay, we've got NIL. Let's go. Let's do our thing. And it created that mosh pit of chaos. You've created something that is not sustainable. So what if we come into contact with a new face of college football that has the group of five and the power five split? I think once you do that, you're creating something that has infinitely more entertainment value. And something that, honestly, if it had a commissioner or some type of leadership to keep the rules making sense. Because one of the arguments that Pete makes in this article is that the leadership of the NCAA would rather have legislation determine the rules of college athletics than themselves. And that the NCAA would rather have the judges say, okay, you can't do that, instead of saying, oh, we shouldn't be doing this. There's an outcry from our athletes. Let's drop the whole student athlete gimmick and let's just start. Let's create something that works. But because they waited until the last minute, it opened up and exploded in their face the way it should have. So I think if you get to that point where you have a college football that is split correctly, a college basketball that is split correctly, a college baseball, softball, all of them, just split them correctly. Make them make sense. Alabama and Troy don't belong on the same field. There's programs within the SEC that don't belong on the same field as Alabama. Split those things to the point where they make sense. The conferences have to figure that out. Just because Vanderbilt is a D1 school and all things, they're not going to put the money into football. Don't let them compete in football with Alabama. Allow that split to make sense so that the teams that get into the playoffs, they did deserve it. But not because they won 12 games, 8 of which were against cupcakes that they beat by 40. Make them actually earn it. Based off of your conference record, how you won your conference, if at all. How you performed against like opponents. The only reason that we can even quantifiably say that the winner of the college football playoff or the BCS before it is because we could call them a national championship because we knew that they had talent based off of recruiting rankings and the amount of talent that they sent to the NFL. That's the only reason we were even able to do that. It wasn't because of who they beat half the time. It wasn't always settled necessarily on the field. It's got to be settled on the field. Everything about it has to be settled on the field. Otherwise, what are we doing? Why the thing with college football at all? See, when you look around other leagues and other sports and all that, you see a cohesive thing that works. How players get here, how players move around the league, how players perform, how rewards are divvied out. Everything has a concrete, stable structure to it. And then you see college football just kind of limping down the sidewalk, and you're like, well, what's wrong with them? And it's like, well, nobody ever taught them how to walk. And nobody gave them any assistance because they wouldn't take any. They were just told by the government, hey, you got to start walking down the sidewalk. You can't crawl anymore. Or you can't expect to be pushed around anymore. And now they're in the space that they're in. So I think it's interesting stuff there from Pete Thamel on ESPN.com. A lot more wrong with college football than just the fact that NIL is a thing. Than just the fact that the transfer portal thing is a thing. And the fact that both of them, despite being inherently good things, are being completely and utterly shattered right now in college football. As I've said multiple times over the past several months, it has more to do with the NCAA's failings than it does with those. Those changes kind of just mask you from the fact that this is all the NCAA's fault anyway. Hopefully one day soon they fix it. We'll take a break, though. We'll come back, close down the show here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very warm afternoon with a sunny sky. The high today 87, clear tonight below 59. And here comes the heat tomorrow and Thursday. A good supply of sunshine both days. The high tomorrow 93, the high Thursday in the mid-90s at 95. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.
Crimson Tide Sports. Might have noticed this on social media, but it looks like former Alabama wide receiver Ajayi Hall has deleted all photos, tweets, and references to the Texas Longhorns from his social media. Who is surprised? Who is surprised? It is not I. I am not surprised. I mean, I saw it in the comment sections of one of these tweets where it was saying, transfer portal gives these guys the opportunity to instantly just kind of go anywhere else. We don't see a whole lot of the JUCO route anymore. You know, like Cam Newton got in trouble at Florida and all that sort of stuff. Well, let's just go to the JUCO. We don't see that as much now. Like, these guys just bounce from D1 program to D1 program to D1 program, and it's like, well, eventually, dude, like, you're going to realize, like, your opportunities aren't just going to magically come to you, right? You can play the Tate Martell game and play at 8 different schools in 4 years and graduate and realize, I just wasn't good for D1 football, and retire because you thought you were that special. Or you can humble yourself, go down to JUCO, bust your ass again, earn the opportunity to transfer somewhere that actually wants you, and have the chance to win, have the chance to be somebody. I like Ajayi Hall. I do. I agreed with a lot of what Joe said the other day on social media that got so much traffic. I agree with a lot of the sentiments of what Ajayi Hall likes and by likes, I mean social media wise. I mean, saw him like this tweet the other day. It's crazy how everyone praises athletes, then bash them as soon as they lose. Like, I get that. I think that's such a silly thing to do. Like, to hold the weight of one's importance and whether or not they catch a football or throw it correctly. It's not about the person at that point. It's about the athlete. Criticize the athlete. Don't criticize the person. But at some point, the person has to be an adult. I make the argument all the time that all of these players are over 18. We shouldn't always just call them kids. Some of them, like Ajayi, they're still kids. That's okay. It'll be a long time to grow up too, dude. It is what it is. But maybe big-time college football not a thing yet. That said, that applies whether he's still at Texas or not. He could have just deleted all his stuff to screw with us on social media again, because he knew that Alabama fans would talk about him again. Because he was never put on the Texas roster. Not that he was taken off. So we'll see how things unfold for Ajayi Hall, and hopefully we see him on September 10th on Big Noon Kickoff, called by Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt. We'll have fun. Tomorrow we'll break down some more stuff in the series, including Vandy and running backs. So stick around. We'll be here tomorrow at 11 a.m. Till then, Jay Barker's up next, followed by The Game with Ryan Fowler. I'll see y'all tomorrow. Take it easy. Roll Tide.